It's time for the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Now here's Jake.
Jake, Rural Matters back. Another glorious Friday in beautiful Oregon, people. What a great state we live in. And this time of year, it's so fresh and beautiful. You're going to get sun. You're going to get rain. But the days are getting longer, much longer. And that gets people out and doing stuff. And just it's a wonderful time. Enjoy it. Get out there and enjoy this time of year. We go into the summer. There's nothing to it. Couldn't get enough of my buddy Jack last week. And so glad to have him continue on. Because honestly, Jack Whitell, my good friend out of Independence, Monmouth area, Polk County guy. And if you want to look at what we talked about last week, it's on podcast. I don't want to reinvent the wheel here. We talked about the Polk County Fair. We've talked about the Polk County situations with land use, construction things that are going on that are very, very important to this state. And of course, all of you registered voters, which I believe in, registered, emphasize that, should have your ballots. If not filled out, you better get them in the mail. Get them done. And really, this is the deep dive. I want to have you back again with me, Jack, because between takes last week and phone calls that you and I have had over the years, we've got a pretty big deal coming with, I want to start with the governor's race for the GOP. So, you know, the top big four, you know, with Chris Dudley, Kristen Drazen, we've got Ed Deal. And then Daniel Bethel, commissioner, I believe she's the Marion County commissioner. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to throw this at you, and I'm not going to be mean, not to you, but I watch a lot of political stuff, and I'm going to give Chris Dudley some advice while I can. It might be too late, but I'm going to do it. Chris, you have the money. You and Christine Drazen have television ad money. Your ad, where you use your trailblazer history, which, by the way, is solid, but your ad showing you with, I guess, either your daughter or your granddaughter, and you're talking about, you know, basketball, and you're going to be a good governor and do some rebounding. I want to give you some free advice on how you should do your next ad if you happen to get to the next level. Get rid of that ad, Chris. Chris, I want you to go back to some YouTube where you and Shaquille O'Neal were battling it out back in the day when the Trailblazers were in the Pacific Conference with then Seattle Supersonics, Phoenix Suns, and San Diego Clippers, and the LA Lakers. Mm-hmm. Phil Jackson coached Zen Master LA Lakers featuring Shaquille O'Neal and superstar the late Kobe Bryant. Chris, best I can tell, it looks like your nose has been broken a few times playing basketball. You and Jerry West share that. Why, oh why, are you showing some lame ad in a gym when you could be showing you and Shaq going at it, where you were floored by Shaquille O'Neal? You got up with a basketball and you threw it at Shaq. Now there's an ad.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Let's go sports a bit here, Jack. Okay,
oh,
are you ready?
I love it.
Okay, because I'm going to give Chris some advice, because he's ran before. He got the nomination, I don't know what, 12, 13 years ago? I can't remember, because I'm getting older and I'm allowed to forget stuff. Show yourself going against Shaquille O'Neal in the trenches. Shaquille O'Neal, 7'1", 320 pounds, broke more backboards than the late Daryl Dawkins, Chocolate Thunder, New Jersey Nets. Mm-hmm. Why aren't you showing where you are willing to take on the Shaquille O'Neal Democratic Party and that basketball you're throwing back at Shaq because he probably cheap shotted you like he really needed to. He's so big. And that basketball is an issue that is so important to you that you're willing to take it and shove it in the Democrats' face. Shove it in Shaquille's face. That's the ad I'd be running, brother. I'd be running the one. Why not that? What is? I see that ad. I see that ad with the gal, daughter, granddaughter, whoever it is. God bless her. Great, great, wonderful. And then I'm waiting for the unicorns to fly in and the fairy dust to fall and have a nice kumbaya moment. That's not the politics I want to see in Oregon anymore, Jack. I don't want to see that anymore. If you are running for governor, candidates, and I think Ed Deal's, I'm leaning towards him.
Yeah.
I don't want to see some feel-good commercials. If you got the money from maybe Phil Knight.
A million bucks,
right? Why aren't you showing us what it was like to get hammered? You made a lot of rebounds. You threw up a lot of bricks. You made that clear in your other ad. That's okay. Show us how tough you are. Show us that when you get your butt handed to you a lot of times by Shaquille, not to mention other ones like Karl Malone, David Robinson, all of those sensational players back then, other teams. And the fact that you never made a big deal out of it, but he was also type 1 diabetic, man. And here you are. And you had a long career, 13 years or so in the NBA. Why show an ad like that? Am I wrong, Jack? Here's your chance. You got time. What do you think?
I tell you, I enjoyed your monologue there.
Did you like
but,
that? I'm channeling a kind of a Joe Rogan here.
I'm like, why did I even show up?
No, and I woke up.
You're hitting a subject that I love a lot.
Go for it.
And of course, I'm a Phoenix Suns fan, right?
Yeah, that's okay.
That's all right. And I had a lot of experience with watching Shaq and Kobe. I saw Kobe play in the fourth game he ever played when he came to the Madhouse on McDowell. And I have a good friend in my hometown that really want me to get on sports today. But you're right. Dudley, I like the guy. You know, he's a nice guy.
What's not to like about
him? Yeah, and I think...
That's the problem.
I think that even in his...
I want tough.
Even in his first election...
Trump tough.
Yeah, I know. But even in his first election, I think that he can go across the board and get guys who were Blazers fans and, you know, I mean, you know, I think that's a real positive to that guy, Dudley. And I'm not going to give him any advice because I'm not as smart as you are, Jake. But
oh, that's scary.
But the thing is that why don't not only your idea, but throw in some policy. Hey, are you going to let ICE in?
Good one.
Okay, are you going to let ICE in? Are you going to cooperate with the federal government?
Wow.
You know, hey, I'm Chris Dudley. I just threw a basketball at Shaq, and by the way, ICE is going to come here and take care of things, and I'm going to let them in.
Love it.
I'm going to cooperate.
Love it.
And that would be my advice to Dudley. But I'm an Ed Dill guy, and I think that there could be a little bit of propaganda going on that's getting let out that he has no chance. I think he does have a chance, and I would love to see him win.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah.
I want to.
But I'll support any of them.
Absolutely, that's a no brainer. But
yeah,
when I was doing a little research, and I remember this, when you look at say NBA stars, National Basketball Association players, and you go back, and I remember this when I was in high school, that the New York Knicks had a forward by the name of Bill Bradley.
Yeah,
and he was an Ivy Leaguer, and I believe Chris Dudley is also Ivy League, I think, as well, educated, great. And Bill Bradley, Democrat, but he was a Democrat back in the day of more the Kennedy style.
Yeah, he was a good guy.
He was, and he had, you know, he won. He had two championship rings with a very star-studded Knicks team back in 70 and 73. And then he went on to have a very good career. And he was so politically savvy that he was actually going to go toe-to-toe with Al Gore to even run as president. But, he's probably had enough of that. And, you know, he did fine. He was a good man.
Mm-hmm.
We had back then, decent people were part of the Democratic Party and all of that. So there's that. And then Dave Bing was a guard for the Washington Bullets. Same little after Bill Bradley wound up becoming the mayor of Detroit, Michigan. And Dave Bing also a championship ring with that Wesley Unseld, Elvin Hayes, Phil Chenier, mm-hmm. very well-stacked Washington Bullets team mm-hmm. of that era. So to you, Chris Dudley, you've got a lot of name recognition, and I've always appreciated him as a player. Mm-hmm. When he ran years ago, and he got the GOP nomination, I'm not exactly sure what year it was. It's all blurred.
Kitzhaber's third term.
Oh, was it?
I that's how I remember it.
Okay.
And he was literally in really good shape the night before we found out that Kitzhaber won.
Well, one of the things that he did, and it always baffled me way back, was after he got the nomination, he took 2 weeks off. Chris Dudley.
I remember that.
And I'm thinking to myself, dude, as a farmer, this is your harvest time. This is where you make hay while the sun is shining. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I get it. You've been all over Oregon, everywhere, and you want to be with your family. But you know what? That'll come later. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like when you've got this locomotive train of momentum, political momentum going down the track, you've got the GOP thing now. You are the Republican nominee. You don't take 2 weeks off.
I got to tell you, Jake, I'm familiar with our current administration at the top. And not only was the president, but his entire family went endlessly until the election was over.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you could have a nomination in the state of Oregon that desperately needs a different view. How could you possibly take time off at that point? Now, I tell you, Ed's working his tail off right now. And I'm sure Christine Drazen is, too.
Oh, they all are.
They all are. But I don't understand that. And to me, that transfers to what he will do as governor.
Well, I think you just said that. We'll hang on to that point right now.
Yeah.
Jake, Rural Matters with my buddy Jack Waddell. Hang on.
Back to the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jack Waddell with me, Jake Apsma, Rural Matters, my good friend for years. Honestly, Jack, I mean, you and I get rolling, and we can solve, you and I, a lot of problems, right?
Why didn't you run for governor?
Because I don't know.
Right. 25 others did.
I know. Well, you know, you got to have this thing called money and time and
right.
And qualification and all that stuff. Yeah. We're looking at Oregon.
Okay.
And we've been doing that a little bit from the last program that we did last week and the here and now. And I'm not trying to pick on Chris Dudley at all, but when you come out and you're running at a time when I think it is so critical for the state, every election since really 2000 in front of 9/11, when we had Bush going against Gore and the Hanging Chads of Florida, and it seems like the polarization of our country really took a nosedive from that time with between Bush and Gore, and we're getting along with your opponent. And we're not looking at people as citizens anymore. We're looking at them as opponents. What advice, Jack, would you give? I already gave you mine on Chris Dudley. What would you like to see out of the next governor of Oregon? What do you want them? What do you want out of them? And how can they convey a message that will bring the other side over to see that realization?
You know, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. My go-to on this question is Sheriff Arpaio in Arizona.
Okay,
he was the one who kept Arizona from going deep blue.
And when was that, Jack? Just go ahead. Roughly.
I'd say about
I remember
10
him.
Years ago.
Yep, go ahead.
And he started the tent city. He says if guys in the Gulf can be in tents, so can our prisoners. My nephew was one of them, and so he was a bank teller, and he'd have to check in after work, stay there all weekend, and if you don't make it to work and everything, then you don't get that privilege anymore. And so one man can make a difference. One man, our woman, you know. I mean, you know, somebody who's a of character. And anyway, if we can get one individual in this state to stand up for the rest of us, I mean, be strong. Be strong. And, you know, as a Christian, we learn that you have to walk alone at certain times. Mm-hmm. So does the governor. So does the commissioner. So does the state legislator guy, the mayors. Walk alone. Walk alone. Do what's best for the people. You know, do what's best for people in who you're representing, okay? And we've lost all that. You know, we're building these huge buildings for government people to work in. You know, the most expensive and largest beautiful buildings in the whole area is there. You go to Weatherford, Texas, somewhere around 80,000 people, and it's a room the size we're sitting in, you know, and it's well kept. Everybody's fine. You know, we have a thing right now in Independence where they're wanting to shut down the museum and the
library. Was that what you were talking to me about? Go ahead, elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah, I will real quick. And why are they doing that? They're doing that to hurt the people so that they can get more tax. Okay, the answer to them is more money.
So real quick, they're leveraging that against the, okay, if you don't,
that's my view.
So we're going to close this down if you don't vote for it. For this bond or
and
whatever.
And so this has been a trend in Oregon, and maybe in other places, but in Oregon, I have noticed that every time something happens, they go after the kids. And so everybody, you know, and also the homeless and disabled people, you know, and we love all those people, right? Like in Monmouth, we don't have the facilities to accommodate a lot of these people, but now they've built them. Okay, and buildings I have built are now homeless camps. And so they're going after people that are just trying to live their life. And what's wrong with supporting the guy with three kids, a wife, and helping him to live a better life? And let the churches and the individuals and people bleeding hearts that, you know, have them invite them into their home. You know, and help them get a job. I'm involved in a group where I have a bunch of young men. I help them get jobs. And I got a call right whenever I came in here. Some man's looking for an electrical opportunity. And so this is a constant in my life. And I love to do it. But the thing is that our politicians have figured out how you can get the fastest and best results and more money is to attack the kids.
So can this even go back to what we talked about last week, where we look at something in my mind as precious as a Polk County Fair, or you know, the 4-H and the FFAs, and you know, where we even go, like we mentioned last week, whether it's Hunter or Jeff Morgan and I, head out and go watch these young gals and these young people run rodeos like they had at the state fair in September. That's our future. And we can't be doing that. We can't be leveraging stuff against our kids. I really feel for that. You mentioned something that really...
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Already during COVID, so many kids were hurt athletically and different things, drama, whatever.
Home, proms, everything.
But opportunities that shape them to be adults, okay? You're going to get an athletic scholarship to Western Oregon, you know, but guess what? You didn't play football, you know, and that group of kids are the kids right now, and I know this from my group. They're the ones sitting around watching video games and you know, have no clue about politics. I talk to Western Oregon kids all the time. They don't know who we fought in World War II. Oh, but they know everything from but during the 60s. They know the 60s forward. That's where history begins for kids in today's society. They can tell you who Martin Luther King is.
Or Malcolm X
or Louis Farrakhan and all those guys. But they cannot tell you who we fought in World War II.
And then
they don't know who our signers are.
And then speaking of World War II, but they do know that Trump is a Nazi.
Yeah, I had some.
They don't know World War II, but they apparently do know what that is.
Well, I had some kid at Dairy Queen one day. I was going through the line and he said something about some leader in that era. Civil rights is what I'm thinking about.
Civil rights era.
Yeah, civil rights era. And I didn't know who he was talking about.
So what happened to your education, Jack? You know, you're hitting on something, you know, again, with the young people. We got a minute and a half. Go ahead.
Well, the victors write the history books.
Correct.
And I've been to the killing fields in Cambodia.
Yep.
You know,
Vietnam.
And the history is written by the conquerors. Yep. And I really believe if things would have gone another way, maybe we wouldn't be sitting here talking right now.
Very good point.
Because
man.
We had a lot of pressure on us, and I know this from a military perspective, because I go deep into the upper end of the military world.
Yeah, we're going to hit on that in a little bit later. You know, Jack, we've got about 40 seconds for the hard break. You visit with your family out of state. How do they look at Oregon? Real quick.
Like we're crazy.
Yeah.
I go to a speakeasy there in Dallas, Texas, whenever I'm there. And I try to tell these people that, hey, a lot of us out here, we're patriots, man. We're fighting the good fight. And they're like, you dumbass. Why don't you move? I've got property in Texas, you know? But they're like, why don't you
leave?
Leave. And so what's happening right now, Jake, is that literally our upper end families in our area of the world it's a mass exodus out of here.
Jack Waddell with me, Jake Real Matters. Hang on, we're just getting started.
Back to the Blue Star Gas, Real Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Real Matters, said it before, I'll say it again. Happy Friday, for one thing. And in the line of work I do, Jack, which could be somewhat... I don't want to use the word monotonous, but the nights can go long. Uh-huh. This is like the fastest hour of my week by far.
Yeah.
It truly is. By comparison. You know, we always think big picture, you know, big politics and everything like that. But Jack, how important is it to know what's going on in your grade school, high school, and have some kind of a tangible involvement in it? You know, you guys... And your wife mentioned that when she was on Sherry back, that you guys were homeschoolers. But yet, just because you're homeschooling didn't mean that you don't care about what's going on in the buildings in your town, the schools in your town, right? And the school board. Talk about that, your involvement.
Well, you know, I've had lots of friends in the administration, and it seems as if the administration yearly declines. You know, when we first started, the ADs, the athletic guys, they were all great people. And I'm still friends with some of those people, right? And so my kids were homeschooled, but they were good athletes, dancers, singers, all kinds of stuff, but mostly athletes. One was a great singer. But anyway, we got involved in the schools. I did a lot of donation work wiring the baseball cages. And you know, I worked at Central High School on that big bond that they had. And for another guy, I was a subcontractor there. But I'm very familiar with the schools. And by the way, like, you know, people say that homeschoolers are dorks and it's socialization is a problem. My first two girls that went to school, because, you know, I was having all those brain surgeries and stuff, right? So we had to put them into school. But they both were homecoming queens.
Because
they talked to anyone.
They were able to dovetail right into the system.
No.
Yeah.
They could, but they didn't care if you were the little kid in the wheelchair or you know, some dork at school. You know, are somebody who had very few talents, which, by the way, those people go on to be the leaders in society usually, but they could talk to you. They could talk to an adult. They could watch a baby kid. You know, they could pull a lamb.
You and your wife have made it count, and I know that my youngest brother and his wife homeschooled their children, I believe six of them, up until, I believe, high school. A lot, very, plus or minus what you and Sherry did.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go so far as to say this, Jack, and you know, Hunter's across the table with us, but I used to think, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I wasn't homeschooled, you know, because I went through the K through 12 and whatnot. I don't want to knock good teachers at schools that are really, really trying to do their best. But I will tell you that I, in the past 10 years, if I had to turn the clock back for me and mine, I think I would have seriously go, you know what, let's find a good network of homeschool families that we can pool our strengths and make this work, because I've met your children and they're handsome, strong, beautiful family that there's not a grass doesn't grow, moss doesn't grow under their feet at all. Mm. You guys wouldn't allow it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally changed my opinion of it. And in a sense, particularly this past week, where we had May Day celebrations.
Oh boy!
And what does the city of Chicago do? They encourage these young people, and like you said earlier, half of them don't even know history. And you're going to protest what, capitalism? What do you? They don't even really know.
I happened to be in Vancouver, Washington on May Day, and me and my son-in-law and I we were headed to pick up some burritos, and anyway, we go up to the corner, and there must have been 1,000 kids out there, no adults, all holding signs that that teachers need more money and you know what a terrible society we are. And so, unfortunately, adults are using kids to make their point. There wasn't one kid out there who understood unions, understood how much a teacher gets paid. And there's blue hair, black, you know, I mean, there's everything going on out there. And there was one subgroup across the street yelling about something else at the other kids. And so you have a riot with grade school kids. We had to turn around and go another way because there were so many people out there. And I just thought to myself, we have lost our way.
Yeah, yeah.
We have lost our way. And you know, I want my kids to enjoy. I grew up poor, you know that.
Yeah, from West Phoenix,
yeah,
Arizona.
South Phoenix.
South, yeah.
Big difference. South Phoenix. And you know, my first high school was shut down because of the race wars, and then the Cardinals took it over,
right?
And so I went to 5 different high schools.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that we grew up in America where you could get on your stingray, ride up, go fishing for bluegills, go flying down the hill with your hands up in the air, and you know, somebody's on your paperboy baskets or on your handlebars.
Yep.
And you know, and I don't want to reflect on what's gone. I'm not bitter, but I want my kids to enjoy those things. I want them watching shows like Huckleberry Finn and you know, the Little Rascals. Right. You know, and nobody, you know, everybody talks about Buckwheat was treated poorly. No, he wasn't.
Yeah.
My first people were all people of color.
And they prefer, by the way, I want a newsflash to many, many white people. Don't refer to black people as African Americans. They want to be called black.
They're Americans.
Because as my very good colleague that I work with, who's black.
Yeah.
Jake, you're white. You're white. Do I have to put something in front of that? I go,
yeah, you're Netherland white.
I'm a Dutch boy white. I'm black. Right? You see that, don't you? Otherwise, we got a problem with our job. But your point well taken. I mean, it's they don't even know what they're doing, that, and the mayor's egging them on.
Yeah.
And these young people. But yet, we got to keep plugging away.
Yes, sir.
We've got less than 3 minutes, Jack. You talk to your family outside, and they look at Oregon and basically the West Coast. We're laughed at. In a way.
Yeah, we are.
But Jack, are we a lost cause? Are we? Where are we at? In your mind?
California has cut off oil to Frisco. That's gone, okay? Oregon relies on imported oil. Washington still has the ports and their agricultural community is strong. I think that Oregon and California is done for the most part, unless something radical or the grace of God or, you know what I mean? But I think that California and Oregon are really have a big hill to climb over. And I seriously doubt it will happen. But I have hopes for Washington.
Why do you have hopes for Washington? Because
they have the port. They have the ports.
Well, that's...
And they get oil. Hey, America is based on oil.
Right.
If you don't have oil, you don't have prosperity. You don't have freedom. You it's all about oil.
Yeah.
And that's why I agree with what's going on right now. And so it's just... You can bust it all down to stock markets and all these things, you know, but it all comes down to oil.
It does. And honestly, president needs to get that baby under control.
He does.
And you know, I want to make it clear to, you know, my earlier segment and even last week, you know, picking on the governor at large, I will pick on a Republican as equally with as much venom as I would a Democrat. I'm a constitutionalist, and so is your older brother, Mark, and we're going to talk about him later.
So am I.
Real quick, we got 10 seconds.
Okay, well, one thing I want to say is right now, I believe we're doing the right thing.
Yep.
And I'm confident that this will end where it benefits all Americans, no matter what your position is. You're going to be thanking some man in Washington, D.C.
Right on. Jake, Real Matters. Back with Jack Weddell to finish up.
Back to the Blue Star Gas, Real Matters on 1430 KYKN. Once again, here's Jake.
Jake, Real Matters. Happy Friday. And again, as I always say, look out for my farming buddies that are out doing, I think, God's work, man. They're feeding us. And they're taking care of their land. They're not abusing it. And all of that stuff. Help them out. Help them out. And so with me, final wrap-up of two programs, Jack. You were talking about oil. And also, too, when we're looking at what's going on in the Middle East with the Port of Hormuz locked up, fertilizer prices are higher. You know, gas prices are higher. Even though we only get 2% of our oil from them, it's more of an emotional price roller coaster in some ways. I know that with Venezuela, we're going to start really benefiting from what happened with the president taking their leader out and so on and so forth. I want to talk, Jack, in the last segment, as you're comfortable. They say that sometimes we're only one or two people away from actually knowing the president of the United States. Your family is deep. Mm-hmm. And your older brother is on a very familiar mm-hmm. Relationship with our current president. Why don't you talk about that a little bit? Then talk about the role of your nephew and where he's at in the grand scheme of things.
Well, I seem to hang around with a lot of people who are way more important than I'll ever be, and my brother's one of them. And I have another brother who is very significant too, in terms of, you know, he brought basically the internet to China and it did really well, and he's a big stock guy, and they hang out with the mayor of Fort Worth and all that, and
in Texas.
Yeah, his wife runs the largest nonprofit in the state, used to be the education person here in Oregon. But anyway, I for some reason or another, you know, my brother was roommates with the governor of Arizona, you know, at the Pike House, ASU. And yeah, I've always met all these interesting people.
Short of me.
Yeah, Jake, I'll throw you in there too. but the thing is that so I may hear things that most people don't. And I've been in speakeasies in Texas, and you know, I've talked to big figures from me to you, and not because of me, but just because of who I'm hanging out with. And anyway, my nephew, and of course, my brother's a decorated veteran. His his pictures up when you walk into where the Seals are there in Coronado, and he's a hero amongst heroes, and I'm so proud of his service. My nephew, Josh, is an amazing young man, and he the current administration really helped him out in a jam. Obama had a problem with something he did in war, and anyway, he got out because of the current administration. And now he's serving for all of us. Doesn't matter what party you are, what religion, he's serving right now. He's on the lines. Couple buildings blown up in the last few days. He had the ability to get people out because he had a bad feeling.
And this was in the United Arab Emirates?
Yes.
So he was, were those wayward bombs or not? What do you think?
What I think is Iran thought that if they bombed their neighbors, that they might get some support, and you know, the left likes to talk about Trump bombing a school. Well, they put the school next to a military base. You know, they killed 46,000 people a month ago. They killed some beautiful young men for saying something they didn't like when they were Australia, and then they hung them. And my brother's been in Tehran and seen him throw gay people off buildings.
Your brother has actually seen that.
He's witnessed it.
Wow.
He was under, I won't go too far into it, but he spent time there.
Sure.
Not visible, you know.
Stealth?
Well, blending in with camel, sure. Camel guys.
Right on.
And so anyway, I've known this for a long time. You know, he also told me whenever we had the attacks during 9/11 that something big was going to happen, because he was on Ford Island at the time, SEAL Team 4, and they get all the jargon. Our intelligence is amazing.
Right.
And it's even more amazing now because we have a commander-in-chief that's taking care of our military.
Right.
And he does not like war. He's preventing war.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? 600-yard mile missiles they said they had, now they know it's 2,000, and they have nuclear warheads from China to put on them. You know? And so they were a threat to America.
So when people say, we had no business being in Iran. We had no business attacking.
They're crazy.
The president, with all the intelligence that you've talked about, we had that window, or we had to make that move with the Israelis.
In my view, they're either ignorant, naive, or crazy. Trump derangement syndrome. You know, I mean, it's just like it's right there in front of you. I mean, you know, Well, I know more than, you know, because of who I know, but even from your local news, you can piece it together, you know. Iran was talking about bombing America.
Well, we're the great Satan.
Well, yeah.
And Israel is
the little Satan.
Yeah, you know, and they're going to send them to the sea or the Red Sea or whatever.
And by the way, on Israel, it's not that Netanyahu started laughing whenever they said Trump only, you know, that Netanyahu was pulling the strings. Netanyahu actually started laughing, and it was legitimate. He's like, nobody tells the president what to do.
No.
Nobody. And so anyway, the uninformed people and people out there, you know, it's just, I really don't understand. It's like there's a brain missing or something. You know, I don't know what's going on, man. But
this goes back to what we've been talking about, is how can we facilitate a conveyance of a message that will make sense to people that. We've got it, and getting back to even here to Oregon, we've got to change course here, you guys. And again, my plea to the voters is if you can't stand the letter R, okay, try it. Just try it for two cycles. And if it don't change, you know what? You got every reason to get upset.
Vote for the most qualified person.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Whomever it is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even the current administration, you know, they've gotten all kinds of, you know, and people criticize some of the picks and things. But, you know, you also have to get these people confirmed.
Yep.
And so, you know, I mean, what is there, like 600 or 420 that they got to get confirmed? You know, and so there's a lot of criticism out there, but we got 4 years to turn things around.
Yeah.
Okay. In Oregon, we're right on the line. I don't know if we can come back or not. I really don't. Until we get the force open, that's our number one thing, right? And it's a cash crop. You know, it's replaceable.
It is. And we need to look at this too. You and I, well in our 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had, as you put it earlier, as a young kid in Phoenix, able to do some great things. And I'm really glad that I had the America that my mom and dad came across to bring me in back in Southern California, my siblings. And I can live off that going forward. I'm not getting younger. You're not getting younger. Mm-mm. But you have wonderful children. I have wonderful children. The people in this room have kids, and we would like them to be able to make it and own the home and be able to have a quality of life, which quite honestly wouldn't be that hard if we had some things out of the way. I really, you know, my appeal is, people, open your eyes. We got 1 minute, Jack.
Well, you know, and so I guess I would end on this, is that we're a spirit, and we've got a body as a shell, and we have this brief time on earth to do the purpose that we were sent to do. And every one of us, and anybody who might be listening, talk to your neighbor, talk to a kid. You know, we all have different strengths and talents. And if we're going to save our country, save Oregon, save Polk County, we need to be talking to people who want to listen.
Yeah.
And don't go on the street corner and be a street preacher or anything. You need to, in conversation, God will provide a format for you to have this ability if that's his will. And so, you know, I think that it's incumbent on all of us to do what we can to try to pull this thing together.
No better way to end the program. Jack Waddell, we'll get you back.
Okay.
Jake, Real Matters.
All right.
See you soon.
This has been the Blue Star Gas Rural Matters, every Friday at noon on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.